I tell you, brother and sisters, sometimes a brother comes and does what one brother did to me this week. So kindly, he gave me a book. Just before I preach a message, what does it cost? And I have to confess, Lord, that cost is too high. It's too much. I don't want your hammer. I don't want your piece of material. No, I don't want that sweater. It costs too much. Are you going through life like that? With the spiritual things of God? It costs too much. What are some costs that I might have to be a follower of Christ? Now, I'm going to get down to some things, and I appreciated what Daniel said. I'm not going to talk on myself. The other night, he made that statement. But I'm going to tell you some costs that I experience. Those are the ones that are very real to me. And if you'll just bear with me, there's some things that I have to tell you that I ran into that were a cost to follow Jesus. I was in Manitoba. It was Manitoba. And I've helped Moon to preach a message on but. But. You know the but? Where Jesus said, follow me. And the men said, but. I would follow thee, Jesus, but I want to stay home and bury my father. I would do this, but. And I used my title, my message, but. That's all it was, just but. That afternoon, and I'm not saying it was because of the message, but I do know that there were many who were stopped by a but that came and told me later. And they were going to have a baptism that afternoon. If I don't hold me in my numbers, but I think there was 3 that were going to be baptized. And after the message, after the tent was, they sat together and they discussed this baptism. We're going to have a glorious time out there in the lake baptizing. And from these 3, it multiplied and multiplied, and I'm not too sure of the number, but I think there were 17 or 18 that went to the baptismal water. And while they were baptizing, there was a young man and his wife standing on the bank, and they were going through such a heavy condemnation, and they gave up. Why? I'm just using my words. Because but will not stand after the Holy Spirit comes down and floods you and I. And that's what happens to the cost. The cost just sort of vanishes. Back in 1969, my wife and I wanted to be rightly baptized. It was unheard of. The cost was not very cheap. Not very cheap. I had dear friends that I loved like a brother, and they were my brethren, that came to me and asked me, you're going to get married again to Anna? All things like that. There's costs along the road. There's costs, dearly beloved. Don't you forget it. What are some of them? Well, we could talk all evening on denying, and this is certainly a very important one. But what does it mean to deny ourselves? I looked up that word deny, and it means to disregard any interest in myself. That's a hard one. Disregard any interest in myself. Romans 15:1 and Romans 14. If you want to get down to the fine point of what it's going or what it is to deny yourself, you study Romans 14 and 15. You know, things that you and I have a liberty to do, but my dear brother, who I love in the Lord, has a struggle. Am I willing to just try to nurse him along with me before I just go in there and try to flaunt my liberty? They used to talk about in the German char, the German, it says, Welcher ist ein Deckel zur Bosheit. I can't get the words right. But a cloak of liberty or something like that is what it means. And I believe, brethren, there's a lot of Christians that talk about being crucified that they flaunt their liberty over brethren and sisters who are coming up out of the ranks, and they flaunt that liberty. I told somebody the other night, brother asked me, I'm not sure how he asked it, but something like, would you ask people to change their dress if they came to your church? That's a good question. I had the experience of having two men and their families, well, two men, young men, that were converted. They found the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them came to visit me. And now, I don't know how I want to say this. I want to be careful. But they were very, very rigid in their standards. And he came and he sat down in my living room. And he said, Abner, if I would want to come to your church, would I have to dress different? And I wish I could show you, just not for his sake, but just for your sake, how he was dressed. He had hair to below his shoulders, and he was not a hippie. This was a religious organization. And I'm going to stop there. And I just meditated, and finally I told him, brother, and I believe he was my brother in the Lord. In fact, after many years, they're still there with us in the church. And I said, brother, the only thing I'm going to ask you is to get a haircut. Really? I don't know how long it was, but I did ask him. Get a haircut. If you want to wear the clothes you're wearing, I'll accept that. But please, get a haircut. Because I felt it was a violation of Scripture. And so, there's costs involved in some of these things. I lost my thought. And, oh, it had to do with whether a brother has liberty to do these things. And one of the costs of us being a child of God is to deny ourselves in these liberties so that we can help a brother come along. And you know, that is a hard one. Because we think he ought to grow up. He ought to start eating meat. He's just a milk baby. Well, wait a minute. Maybe we're not quite weaned yet either. Maybe we're not weaned yet. All right? What is the cost of bearing this cross? Do you want to count the cost tonight? Do you have your calculator out? Are you a young convert and you just love these meetings and it's putting a fire in your soul? All right? That's good. That's good. I hope I can close tonight on a positive note, but I want you to count the cost. You know, sometimes people take somebody, they want to lead him to the Lord. And I remember, this just comes to my mind like a shot. I was out in Oregon one time, and a boy responded in the congregation at the meeting. And I went, I said, his father asked him if I would take him down and sit down and talk with him. He needs the Lord. And so we did. And I just felt this block, just a block. And finally I said to him, son, listen. Are you ready to give up for Jesus? You know what he asked me? In full innocence, he looked up in my face and he said, do I have to give up my pickup? Brothers and sisters, I had no idea whether he was driving a ton truck, a pickup, a car, a Model T. I had no idea. But I told him, yes. I don't know what kind of a pickup he had, but I knew that that was something that he did not want to give up, and that may have been the very thing that kept him, because he got up and walked out. And so you better count the cost. Whether it's a Dodge with dualies out the back and chrome stacks and loud noises and no muffler, or whether it's a beat-up old Chevy. It's not the truck. It's because you are not willing to pay the price. It's not a cross of this or that or that or that. It's because here, Abner wants his own way. Are you willing to pay that price? All right? It may cost us our parents. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, verse 26. I'm not going to take the time to turn to them all. It may cost you parents. You know, brothers and sisters, I had a real problem in my young Christian days. I loved my family. I loved my brothers and sisters. And like I said, there was 14 of us. And I just loved them. And I had no idea. And when I was converted, about 2 days later, I went down to my dad, and I went to my father, and I told him, Dad, I can know my sins are forgiven. Oh, I never dreamed what would come of it. And I went home all bewildered. And my father came up to me in 2 days, a day or so later, and he said, if you don't lay down what you believe, now we weren't driving a car, we weren't doing those things, but he said, if you don't lay down what you believe, you're not going to be my son, and I won't call you my son. You may lose your family. You may be going on in life, and you find out to your horror that your sister buried a child and you never knew it. You may find out that your brother or your sister is marrying some man you don't even know the man, the boy. My brother Roman married, I never saw his wife. You may lose your family. Does God take care of it? Yes! He has given me far bigger family like the other brothers, as some brother said the other night, than I had then. Many more than 14. I mean, I could go out to Allen County, Indiana, up to Manitoba, up to Alberta, out to Oregon, and brethren come, and I love them. They're my family. God doesn't let you hang. All he wants to know, are you willing to pay the price? Oh, let me be positive in this. Brethren and sisters, I want to encourage you in this. God doesn't let you hang. You may lose your family. It may cost you your girl or your boyfriend. You know, I think he won't care if I use his name, but Brother Alan Troyer, who lives out in Burney, Indiana, I remember so well. He had a girlfriend. And when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, something had to happen. And it did. Now you ought to visit that man. He just can't go any place without the girl that God brought to him. Surely God paid the price of the cost of his girl. And I believe that's a testimony. That to me is a beautiful testimony of counting the cost and realizing it's not too high, and then believing that God will take care of it. Amen. I didn't go through that. I'll tell you something else. It may cost you your wife. Oh, brethren and sisters. There was a brother here the other day. I don't know what that is. I'm not qualified to preach on this. I don't know what it is to have a wife who doesn't hand in hand with me walk the path of the cross. I don't know what that is. And my heart goes out and people come to me and they say, Abner, what would you do? I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. I just believe this. God will make it possible. You know, that's not a new thing. Go into 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it says, if a believer has a husband or a wife, and she be pleased to dwell with him, then dwell with her. But dwell with her according, as Peter says, according to knowledge. Oh, brethren and sisters, if you're here tonight and you do not have the oneness in the family, maybe the wife knows the Lord Jesus and the husband is just cold. Oh, my prayers go out to you. I would like, you know, it's a little bit like I would go to funerals and try to express my sympathy for someone who lost their daughter or their a husband or so. And I was always felt so insufficient. My words sounded so tinny until the Lord took three of our son-in-laws. We have three daughters that lost their husband. And I tell you, that builds up a sympathy in your heart. And I believe that God's children should go through some of these experiences so they can help some others to realize that cost. And it's not always easy. And so it may cost you a farm, Emmanuel Esch. It may cost you a farm. You know what my father told me when he came up to see me? He said, Abner, if you lay this thing down, he said, I'll buy you a farm. I'll buy you a farm. He knew I wanted to farm. I was working away. He said, I'll buy you a farm. Do you think it was a temptation? Amen, it was. I'll just state it. It was a temptation. But he said, if you don't, I'm going to take you out of the inheritance. And Lord, just help me to say, Dad, I've got another inheritance. I've got another one. Now, I want to tell you this. I said this about my dad. But my dad was quite different the last years that he lived. And so I don't want to leave a bad slant. But you know, brethren, the best way I could just forgive my father was this. When I think how it would grieve me if I would believe that one of my seven children were just walking out into the world. And I believe my father believed that. That I was walking out into the world. And I think what really changed his mind on a lot of these things, and maybe people will protest and say he didn't change his mind. Well, I believe he did to a large extent. But what changed his mind is when he saw Anna and I and the desire for our family. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're counting the cost, don't you ever forget, you are in the limelight. You that have left are in the limelight. And there is people watching you. And don't you get the idea, like I did early in my Christian life, that's not fair. You know, I used to be a preacher's son from the time I was 4 years old. And I hated to be a preacher's son because I was put on a spotlight. And I used to think it's not fair. But I'm going to tell you this about the children of God. When people who are seeking or people who are not seeking, they look at the church and they expect something. And they have a right to. So don't you get all hot and bothered because they're looking at you with a critical eye. You just live a life for Jesus. And if there's anything that comes out, it goes to Jesus. And He'll take care of it. Amen. I stand on that. Don't be critical if they look at you critical. But live a life for God. All right? The next thing I want to tell you, it might cost you your church home. Now, I'm not for splits and splinters and all this kind of schisms and all that. But I'll tell you this, it might cost you a church home. And it might cost you another church home. I don't know. You know, when God works, He doesn't want us to become satisfied. And I think sometimes He just has to shake us up again. Shake us up. And so the cost, that's part of the cost. You may lose a good business. And I told you, these are all things that I found out were a cost. A cost. One of the first things that was a cost to me that I had not counted was, the word went away from me. What's the word when you go back and make things right? Restitution. Oh, that was a real one to me. Brothers and sisters, I'm ashamed to tell you. But in my wild days, the years that I was just out in all kinds of things, I did a lot of stealing. And when I found the Lord, He never told me. When I came and I experienced His forgiving grace, He didn't tell me what I have to clear up. But one by one, these things came. And it would find me in some grocery store going up to the counter and telling them, hey, I stole some cigarettes here. I want to pay for them. I remember 5 years after we were converted, my wife and I were going to move out to Mifflin County, and we were gathering our things together, and I went up above the wash house, and there I used to be all taken up with hunting, and God cleared me on that. Don't get excited. And God cleared me on this hunting thing. And I was up there, and I sold my rifles and my pistols and my bows and my shotguns, and I got rid of them because I just felt God doesn't want me to be in that. And then here in this little box, I was rooting down to get this stuff out and do with it, and here I came up with a knife, a beautiful hunting knife in a sheath, all carved and what. And when I picked it up, I was horrified. I had forgotten all about that knife. And it was a knife that I stole on a dare with some other boys out of a hardware store. And the hardware store was right close to our place. And I knew that it was around the neighborhood that Sam Kaufman's boy is now so holy, and he doesn't do anything wrong. I knew that's what they accused me of. And here was this horrible knife. And what do I do? Oh, I just stuff it down in the box. I'm not going to look at it. But you know something? I went on my knees that night to pray to my dear Savior. And all that I could see was this stupid knife hanging between me and God, just dangling. It was real. And I thought, oh, I just couldn't get further. And finally I went to my dear wife, and I said, Anna, I said, there's a knife up there that I stole. You don't know anything about it, but I stole that thing about more than five years. We had been converted 5 years. I stole that knife, and I don't know what to do. I said, I just, and Anna was, you know, she's just calm, and I get excited. And Anna said, but Abner, why don't you just take it back and tell him what you did? What, did it enter your mind? I don't know. All I was trying to assuage was my pride. The rope was around my shoulder. I didn't want it around my neck. I would have to die. And when Anna told me that, yes. And I'll never forget. That hardware store had steps like this. You went up the steps. And I came to that hardware store, and I went up these steps. Oh, it was so hard to go up here. And I went into him, to this man, Mr. Garlock. And I said, Mr. Garlock, I have something I want to tell you. He said, what's that? I said, I stole a knife, this knife, out of your showcase. I don't know how many years it was. And I'm so sorry. And I said, the Lord worked in my heart. And I said, I can't go on. I came to pay you for it. I came to give you the knife, whatever you want. You know something? That man got more uncomfortable than I was. Oh, he started to squirm around and said, well, Abner, I had lots of boys do that. Well, I said, that may be, but I want to make it right. And we got it settled. And I told my wife, when I walked out that store, I floated. I don't remember a stepping. I floated. And so sometimes the cost is restitution. And when you're willing to do that, God supplies the grace. You don't have to think it's going to take it out of my pocketbook. It comes out of Jesus' pocketbook. That's my message. Don't be afraid. It may cost you an occupation. You may decide, or God may tell you, you can't go on in this work. I know of trucking, and I'm not. I know my brother Melvin said the other night he does some truck driving. I'm not opposed to that. But I'm going to tell you, there is some men who have families and little children. And I believe that God talks to their hearts to lay it down. Now, I'm not talking of day driving. I'm talking of this long distance thing. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And then when he got discouraged, Peter said, I go a fishing. Back into the old thing. So be careful. Be careful. I know of men who were delivered of some things, and life went on, and after a while they were back in the same thing. I think that's deplorable. Especially when it was something that they were really convicted about. So it may change your occupation. It may cost us our pleasures. You say, now you're getting to meddling. Brethren and sisters, one of the greatest hurts the church is experiencing today is a world of church people who are all taken up with pleasures. Anything, I remember years ago when they first came out with these video games that I was a Christian then, and I was utterly shocked at how a big, grown, and often oversized man could stand in front of this machine, and I don't know anything about him, but he would be playing with this little, what our little thing goes around on the screen like this, and all body English just going, and what foolishness. And how must that look to somebody when there's a child of God and he's all taken up in these foolishness? It may cost you your pleasures. If you're one of those, and I'm speaking plainly, that can't hardly pick up a paper before he starts seeing what they're doing in football and baseball, you put a thermometer into your spiritual heart and find out where your heat is. There's something wrong. Now you say, are you against playing ball? Not at all. If you want to play with your children, that's good. I often said, I wish I'd have taken my girl fishing more than I did. In fact, I hardly ever did. That's not wrong. I'm not saying that. That's my conviction. But when we let these things come between us and Jesus Christ, and the cost of walking with Jesus may cause you some of these pleasures. 1 Timothy 3:4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's where the danger comes in. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such thing are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so you can watch these things and just get all excited. And you're doing the same thing in a different way. This is part of the cost, brothers and sisters. I don't believe we should have a gathering like this tonight and just pussyfoot around about some of these things that are a hurt to the spiritual health of the church, to the body of Christ. I just don't believe we should. It will cost you friends. And you notice that some of these things that I'm saying are actual happenings. They will cost you your friends. Not all of them, maybe, but as a whole. Oh, I know what that was. My world completely changed. My wife and I, one of the sports that I just loved was water skiing. And I used to go down to Chesapeake Bay where it was rough with a fellow that had a powerful motorboat. And my love was trying the roughest water to water ski on one ski. And you know, when the Lord came into my heart, that stopped like a clutch. Why? Because to me, all at once. And God, I'm a little like somebody said the other night. Was it Chuck or somebody that said about smoking cigarettes a while? I know what that is. God didn't do it all at one time. But one by one by one, he sent a messenger, and something was said, or I read something, or it is a thousand ways that God will do and show you, hey, Abner, this is part of the cost. Are you willing, Abner? Are you willing? And then he makes a way. I remember the night, maybe I said something about this the other night. I remember the night I was sitting under a message of a man who preached about how that he was convicted of his overemphasis on hunting. My wife said, she was sitting in the church and thinking, Abner, are you listening? Maybe if we'd have been sitting together like we do here, she might have just elbowed me slightly. But I was listening. And some of these costs come out. It may cost you your thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. It may cost houses, vehicles. Oh, come on. Yes, I believe it may. You know, there's something I don't quite understand. Some of us people sort of take a sort of a strange pride in being and showing separation. We have this thing about showing separation. Anything from wearing a hat to, I don't need to go into that, but we show separation. But then when we go to buy a vehicle, We come up with the most modern vehicle we can find because we have the money, and we justify it that, well, it's not a real bright red. Just be careful. Now you say, well, Abner got to preaching on things. No, here's what I want to tell us. I believe that as we walk with Jesus Christ, you and I cannot afford to have something in our life that is constantly militating against our conscience. Amen. And we do that too often. We go on with something that is militating against our conscience, and a conscience that is seared, a conscience that is hardened, can finally lead you on the road that is very, very poor. So be careful. Count the cost. Yes, it can be styles and all these kind of things. You know, styles in the church. Don't walk after them. It's foolishness. Foolishness. When I was a young boy up here in Lebanon County, I got me a 53 Ford. And I was a sinner. And I put lowering blocks in it. I put jewels on it, cruiser skirt, a Continental kit, and I went down the road like this. Why? Because it was a style. The back end dragging on the road. 10 years later, the cars went like this, and you could see the whole pumpkin. Do you think it was pleasant in there putting lowering blocks in? Do you think it was pleasant jacking them up? But Mr. Fashion becomes your master. And you become a slave to him who you are obedient to.
Amen.
And so be careful. Count the cost. It may change of how your car runs down the road. I know they don't have that anymore, and I'm glad. But yes, the new technology, our language. Oh, brother, sister, please bear with me a little. Oh, it's. No, I don't want to, but I'd like to say this yet. I believe, brethren and sisters, one of the costs of being a disciple of God is that we, by the grace of God, get our language cleaned up. I am not enthused in hearing these Christians walking around and talking about, oh, how can I say, you guys and you gals and all this kind of thing. I know they become a part of our conversation. I know they do. But I tell you, I am hearing Christians say, oh my goodness. You know, when I became a young Christian, I cursed. I used words that were, they were evil. And God wanted to clean up my tongue. And I used a Dutch word. I did not want to say, oh gee, anymore. You may say, yeah, he's getting very simple in his preaching. I just want to tell us something. I would not say, oh, gee, because somebody told me that gee is just an abbreviation from saying, oh, Jesus. And, oh, I didn't want to use that just as a byword. But when I talked Dutch, I constantly said, oh, yay. Think about that. Oh, gee, oh, Jesus, oh, yay, oh, Jesus. Very sobering, isn't it? God wants to clean us up. That's what he wants to do. Do we count the cost? Listen, brethren and sisters, there's nothing as beautiful as knowing this, that when we come to our blessed Savior, he's going to do the cleaning up. Not some all bylaws and laws and stuff that become law, but he is going to clean you, and he's going to do it in his time. All he wants is a heart that's open. Now, oh, I have to stop. I just want to say one more. And this was very real for me. It's going to cost you your reputation. If you're going to be a vessel for God, it's going to cost you your reputation. Brethren and sisters, I know what it is to walk into a public place where there was a lot of my former people working. They worked back in the shop, and I walked in the front, and all at once turning around, and I did it on purpose at times, when there were four or five heads looking out through there. Because I happened to be in there. Was I important? No. Was my father? Yes. And here is one who went the wrong way. And my reputation was nothing. I know what it is to stand at a sale barn and a brother who's yearning, who has a vacuum in his life, and he wants to fill it with something. And he comes up, and here I'm standing like this. And so he backs up to me, and he says, "Hey, Abner, what would you do, so-and-so? Hey, Abner, how is this? Abner, please help me." But he doesn't want me to turn around and face him because it looks like he's talking to me. That happened more than once for me. Yes, there's a cost. What do? Do you turn around and say, "Listen, if you want to talk to me, turn over and look at me"? No, I don't. I didn't. It's going to cost your reputation. I don't know many times of walking, going to an auction barn or maybe a sale or something like that, and going to this sale, and some people would just walk past you. What do you do? You know what I do? "Hey, hi, nice to see you." "Well, but they don't want to wave. Why should I wave? You're a child of God. They're not. That's why." You think of those things. Brethren and sisters, I know what it is as a young Christian to go to a sale. You may think I went to sales all the time with my story, but I didn't. But I would go to sales, and the brother that helped to lead me to the Lord was a man on fire for Jesus. Oh, he loved the Lord, and he was not afraid to say it. And he would come to this sale, and here's this big sale crowd with the auctioneer up there. And Brother Lloyd would see me through the crowd, and he'd say, "Hey, Abner, praise the Lord." "Ooh, Lloyd, please. That's all right to do it in church, but not at the sale." You know why? Because I was afraid of my reputation. That's why. I'm going to say something tonight, and I hope the brother will bear with me. But somebody that's sitting in this tent, he's younger than I am by about 8 years, but he taught me a lot about what it means to just not care about your reputation. And we need men like that. Brother Moe, thank you. I remember our Green Dragon days. I believe, brethren and sisters, that reputation has its complete hook in pride. What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you everything. That was you. But at the end of it all, it's worth everything. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, take this message and put it in our hearts and show us, oh God, really what you want to tell us. Bless these young families, God, with a strength that is beyond human ability. Bless them with a strength, Father, with a power to walk fearlessly for our Lord Jesus Christ. Not foolishly, not with a zeal that is not governed by the Spirit of God, but fearlessly, Lord. Oh God, we come to the throne of grace that way. May we walk through life that way. Father, we pray that you would speak to all of us tonight. You know what you have laid on my heart to do this evening, and I know it's time to close. But Father, I just pray, God, show us tonight what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tonight do this. They have a microphone. They take around. I'm not going to ask if you feel guilty tonight because you weren't willing to pay the cost. But I am going to ask this. If there's someone here that is willing to pay the cost of being known of everybody in this tent for something that's been in your life, and you want the mic to say it, raise your hand. And I'm going to sit here and listen to you and rejoice with you.
I just want to confess that last thing you said is a struggle for me with my reputation. I'm struggling with it, and I covet your prayers.
God bless you, brother. The Lord will give you grace. Amen. Anyone else? And if you have a victorious experience in it, feel free. Brother Steve up here.
Yes, about 3, almost 4 years ago it would be, we went through an experience like that where we had found Jesus and we were excited about it and we were sharing with other people around us, and then all of a sudden through some circumstances with an ordination in our area, and one of my best friends had been ordained in the ministry and I had been sharing with him quite a bit. And within about a week's time, our reputation was trash all over the county. And it was due to the fact that I was accused of, this man had kind of made up his mind that he's going to leave the Amish, and I was accused of deceiving him. Now, he was very carnally minded, and it was not a very good thing what he was deciding to do, but what I want to bring out is the fact that I don't know that I've ever before that or after that went through as much emotional pain because of that, what happened when that week, all over the county, it spread far and wide because of all the other things that were attached to it. And we went through about 4 or 5 days of tremendous emotional pain. But I look back at it now, and it was the best thing that could have happened to me. I was a very proud man. I was starting my own business. We had bought a property and built a new home. And it was the best thing that could have happened to me. Until the end of that week, I remember on a Friday night, this is the good part. I was laying in my bed just meditating over this. Why is this happening to me? I had such a desire to be a blessing where I was, and I just couldn't believe that this was happening to me. And I just started praying and meditating. And all of a sudden, heaven opened up. And I just felt the presence of the Lord in my room like I've never experienced before or after. It was like I could reach out and touch Him. I thought I was going to go flying soon. I was just so overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord. And I would just say that it was worth it all. The experience was painful, but it's the best thing that could have happened.
All right, I've kept you late enough, and I hope you'll bear with me on that. I'm not going to apologize, but I do feel conscious of it. I am going to ask this. If there's anyone here who has just a tremendous fear in their life, maybe you are a young Christian, maybe you're not a Christian, and you have a fear in your life, like I said about my brother Roman, that you have a fear of what could happen, and yet you yearn for the peace of the Lord in your heart. I'm just going to say this. If you have that, would you just come up here as we close the service and let somebody counsel you? I don't want to go home and just close it like that because there might be somebody here. Or maybe you are a child of God and the cost is just horrible and you're just not willing. You just feel a real, almost a rebellion in your heart for what God is doing. Just come up. Oh, not to me. Just come up so somebody can help you. Don't go on that way. You know, I rebelled in my early Christian life because of my family. I rebelled. I didn't want this. I didn't feel it was right. And we don't go by rights. Not at all. Jesus Christ had all the rights to call 7 League of Angels, and He didn't. We just go walking on the path with our Lord. And so if there's somebody here, please avail yourself to the opportunity to be free in that. And may God bless you. And I'd like to say something before I sit down. Thank you. Thank you, brethren and sisters. Thank you, Mel, for inviting me here. It's been a real blessing. And another thing, you've been such an attentive audience when I was preaching. And that makes preaching so easy. I just love. You know, I was one time the largest group I ever preached to was a group of over 3,000 people, they said, were there. And the minister that got up to have the opening sat down next to me. We had chairs up in the back here. And he sat down beside me, and I was to have the main message. And he sat down, and he did something that about shut the message out of me. He said, "You know, all I could think of, Abner, when I stood up there, is it looks like my uncle's turkey house." And I said, "What a carnal thought." But I understood what he was saying. You look out over these people, and you see all these heads there. And I never worked in a turkey house. But you see all these heads, and you know, it just brings a blessing to my heart that there are people willing to go out in an evening like this to listen to the Word of God. And there may be hearts here that are not quite ready tonight. Answer that in your heart. May God bless you. It's been such a privilege of mine to be here. I think we're going to stand and dismiss. And if you have this burden on your heart, you just come up here. Just be bold. Be bold. And hang that old man by the neck. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you, O Father, at the end of these meetings, that you would dismiss us with the presence of Jesus in every life here that is in the age of accountability. And if he's not there, Lord, then we pray, bring a heaviness of heart so that there is a desired brokenness. And we can't do this, but we know that the Holy Spirit can shatter us. You have said that if we are willing to break ourselves on this rock, the rock Christ Jesus, there's a hope. But if not, that rock shall fall on us. And so we pray, God, have your way. Oh God, send us away in peace. And Father, if not, then help us to make peace. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. Dismissed. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.